Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on December 8th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host,
Your call has been
Joe
forwarded
Perry.
To an automatic voice message
you can
system.
Read all
seven,
about our mini
six,
adventures
five,
on
seven,
Facebook.
3-0-9-9-0-4 is not available.
Show.
At the tone.
Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. Joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning. I am doing great. I think
well,
Jackie's having some problems getting our guests on, but I have them on.
We're all here. We're ready to go.
Excellent.
We just have a little shows. We have phone issues from time to time. No big deal.
No problems. No. Mark, one thing that I'm very sad about was that while I was wrangling with some people across the globe who are panicking about Bitcoin, you and Jackie were having one of those experiences, the Santa's sleigh in Manhattan Beach. Tell me a little bit about that, Mark.
Elves on board. That was what we heard all night. We would go 30 feet, stop at the next street. All the kids would come down. Elves off. We'd jump off the sleigh. Santa stays there. We'd jump off the sleigh. It was run like a military operation. We all had our positions. Jackie was at the rear, and all I heard from her all night was, exit the rear. On the other side where they entered, and then I hung out in the middle to make sure that they went towards the rear versus towards it. And also, you'd hear, literally, we had two police cars, two or three in front of us and two behind us. So we had this military escort. And then they were calling down the times when the line started to get slow. They go, "We got a 1 minute warning, 1 minute warning," and that was to warn the police to start moving. And they would send a scout vehicle ahead a block to clear the path for us, you know. And then then the last thing you hear is
elves on board,
the last thing you would hear
is Santa's on. We can roll. Let's roll.
All right. It was, but it was a lot of fun. Let me tell you, when you see, it just brings back memories when my kids used to get on that sleigh, and they're in their 20s now. But I mean, when you see those little babies and those little kids, you know, the toddlers and their parents, and all these people get up there. And just getting their pictures taken with Santa. It's just the cutest thing in the world. It's really a cool thing that Manhattan Beach does, this the sleigh. And I shouldn't say Manhattan Beach. It's a combination of the city and the Kiwanis and Leadership Manhattan did the fundraising to build this new float. This is a brand new float. It's really cool, state of the art.
Beautiful, wonderful. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun, Jackie. I'm sure you had fun because we all.
Oh, Jackie loved it. The only thing is, the thing about Jackie though is Jackie.
I can't tell.
Jackie.
She's not talking.
Well, no, Jackie. She's too easy. People wanted to go back and get a change of clothes. She goes, yeah, go back, get another change of clothes. Oh, yeah, bring a bike up. Get a picture taken with your bike. You know, I mean, it's like, Jackie, we don't have time for that, you know.
Surfboard, surfboard, not a bike. Oh, did you want to get your surfboard in the picture?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, I will say,
oh,
I don't
gosh.
Know if there was a, freeze about 11 months ago, but there were so many little babies along Ocean Avenue. I don't know what was going on 11 months ago that forced everybody inside, but holy mackerel. It was like a baby explosion
yeah.
last night.
Yep.
Really? Lots of kids.
Yep.
Lots of kids.
A lot of kids.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, any other news of note, Jackie?
No, I think you covered it all.
Well, I think something that we want to announce from the chamber, though, is you guys can talk amongst yourselves. I have all kinds of stuff to talk about. The is, you know, at City Council, they decided not to fund the Downtowner, which is our little shuttle service on the
West.
And
yes.
So Jake exercised his 30-day, who's one of the owners of the Downtowner, he exercised his 30-day out clause and said, okay, we're done in 30 days. And so no more little cute Downtowner, you know.
That's too bad.
But
now,
the thing is...
interesting, right before the holidays when it's kind of most needed.
Oh, well, get us through the holidays. No, he gave a 30... This was this week, so he gives a 30-day notice.
All right.
30-day
so
notice takes us past New Year's. So
the council is taking that into account, that we get us through the new year, and then we don't need them anymore.
No, that really wasn't the intent. It was just happened. We're lucky, I guess, that we just happened to fall on this particular council night, and then the then he has that option in the contract to do a 30-day cancellation. And the thing is, now, listen, I love Jake and those guys, and I love the service. We've used it many times. It is West Side. We needed to expand it to the East Side, and so we asked them to put together an RFP for that. But the thing is, you know, when they approached the city and they approached us and the Downtown and everyone about this idea, because they've been successful in many other markets, and so they came to us. But in other markets, the business model is it's all ad-supported, so it's free to residents, which is the way it's been. It's been free to residents. Unfortunately, they could not sell the ads like they thought they would be able to, especially when we don't allow alcohol ads. You know, if you're in Aspen, they allow them to sell alcohol ads in Aspen. And they wouldn't let them do it here, and so they just couldn't sell the ads. And it's
well,
the only way that
– be fixed. Just let them sell ads, alcohol ads. That's
well,
the fix, right?
They voted that down. They just won't do it. They won't do it. They don't – even soft alcohol ads. I recommended they let them sell, you know, third-party PSA, don't drink and drive by Miller Beer or whatever it is, Budweiser. But they wouldn't do it. And otherwise what they were – so what they did was they came back after months and months and months of being in operation and said, we've got to change our tune here. I mean, we have to change it up here. We can't sell the ad, so what we'd like you to do is fund it for us, and that's going to be close to $800,000 annually.
What?
And well, yeah, the city just can't. I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, we bent over backwards. We looked for grants. Everybody was trying to figure out a way to make it happen because it was a very cute service, and everybody loved it. But once the model changed, the business model, I mean, the city just can't. They can't do that. Not when you have, you know. It's nice to have your own little personal service like that and be very cute and have these beachy little vehicles and all that. But, you know, you do have Uber and Lyft and free ride and all those other things out there that will pick you up as well. And those antiquated taxi things. So.
Right.
And so what else?
All right.
So that's going on. The North End BID, we had an election Wednesday night to elect a new board for the North End Business District, where we were last night, Jackie. And, you know, that's been a very sort of hot button in the area, because it's been the same guys for a long time on the count on that board. Plus, they have all that money that they've stockpiled. And there was also a group that wanted to start an association up on the North End. And so there were two groups fighting for majority control of that board. And the current group won out. It's current group, but we do have three new members on that board, and which is going to be a nice refresh, and also some women on the board. So, because it was pretty much a male-dominated board, and now we have three women, and it's really nice. I think it's going to be a refreshing change. I think it's going to be a great board, and we're going to support it 100%.
All right.
Well, we have something very, very exciting today for all of our listeners, and it's something it's a reprise of a kind, but it's a new thing, and we're very excited to have them with us. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Okay, this morning our guests are Michael Hayden, director of choirs, and students from MiraCosta High School's choirs. And we're going to be learning about their upcoming concert, This Shining Night, which will take place at the MiraCosta Auditorium on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. A $10 donation at the door is suggested. We want to welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Mustangs. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much. We also have with us Mark McCormick, my co-teacher, pianist, and accompanist for our department as well. So we're very glad to be here.
Okay, so before we get into it, Joe, I just want to give a little background on Mr. Hayden, the choir director. He's in his 11th year at MiraCosta High School, where he, as I said, is director of choirs. He studied at Butler University, the Eastman School of Music, and Michigan State University, and he's also studied with Rodney Eichenberger in the Choral Conductors Retreat Summer Workshops. Now, at MiraCosta, Mr. Hayden conducts four choirs and two after-school a cappella groups. His choirs have been recognized locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally, and have toured in Greece, England, France, Amsterdam, and Germany in such venues as Notre Dame Cathedral, Chartres Cathedral, Canterbury Cathedral, St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle, and a whole bunch more. Mr. Hayden's choirs has been featured in Carnegie Hall as part of the World Strides National Youth Festival Honor Choir. They've performed at the ACDC Western Division Conference in Reno, Nevada. The MiraCosta High School Music Department was awarded a 2014 Grammy Gold Signature School Award, and in that same year, Mr. Hayden was named a California Teacher of the Year from over 380,000 teachers across the state. All right, so that's a little background on our Director of Choirs.
Excellent. All right. Wow, Michael, that's amazing.
Yeah, we keep pretty busy over here.
I got to tell you,
absolutely.
Let me tell you guys, I have said this, I've said this for at least 11 years, that you don't need to go, I mean, listen, they've won a Grammy, for goodness sake. They don't just hand those out, you know. You don't need to go to some of these big music halls and all of that. I tell you, we have some of the best music, the most. I've seen them play at our Rotary functions. I've seen them play at events. I've seen offshoots where some of the kids have formed their own little bands, like the Sax Attack and all, or the group of guys that were Charlie. I can't remember. It was all saxophones, and they were wonderful. But the choir, the music, these guys win award. I mean, you have first class, as good as you'll see anywhere else, right here in our own community. It's amazing the talent these guys have. And it all goes back to from the head down. You got these guys like Michael and Mark, who and at the middle school too, their program have just you know, their auspices are unbelievable. We're lucky to have them.
Well, we certainly,
as they say,
we feel very lucky to be working with these students because they're very, very talented.
Now, that's what we really want to focus on, because it is, you always bring us, Mike and Mark, you always bring us what is that, you know, that hope, that future that the Grammys talk about, past, present, and future of music. And it's always amazing. So who are we going to meet first, Mike?
Well, we've got our president representing the four choirs here today. Each choir has co-presidents. And so we have to my left is Kelly. Kelly is co-president of Vocal Ensemble, our 25-voice mixed chamber ensemble. Do you want to start individually, or you want me to introduce them all?
Well, you can introduce them all, and then we'll you know, I'd like to be very regular about this. I'd like to go through them one at a time and ask my standard tough questions.
Yeah,
so tell them to be ready.
Let me start with Kelly. Let's go, because I have bios on each of the students there. Let me start with Kelly. Kelly Shono is in 12th grade at MiraCosta. She spent 3 years in middle school choir, and this is her fourth year in the MiraCosta choirs. She's co-president of the Vocal Ensemble. She loves music and participates in many ensembles at MiraCosta, including Vocal Ensemble Coterier, Wind Symphony, Marching Band, and Jazz 2. Now, after high school, she plans to attend a four-year university to major in business and minor in religious studies and pursue a career in a nonprofit organization.
Say hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. So, you know, Kelly, what I typically like to do is I ask the students questions like, how long have you been involved with the music program? And was that what you intended to do when you first went into high school, or did it happen organically?
I think it was always in the plans for me. My mom's side, they're all musicians. Some of our music teachers, my dad's side, they're all musicians. My brother is a big musician. So it was always kind of set out for me to be in music.
And what is that like to be from a music family? God forbid you don't have musical talent or you don't like music, but of course you love music and you have talent. That's the base that we're discussing. But what is that like?
I think I'm very fortunate to be able to share that with all of my family, because sometimes, like, if there's, you know, a hard piece I'm doing, some people don't understand, like the caliber of what we're doing. And with a musical family, they all get it, and they all support it, and they all appreciate the music that we're making here.
Right. Awesome. So now you're a senior. You're going to be doing something else next year. What is it that you really are looking forward to next year?
I'm looking forward to, you know, going to a four-year university and experiencing new things and keeping music in my life for sure, because I don't know what I would do in college if I didn't have that sense of community. So, that's what we're going to do.
Awesome. We're going to
circle
back.
Joe, can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
I'm curious. When your family, because I have this vision in my head, which I would love to think that happens, because I would love to have that happen in my family. Do you guys, around the holidays, whether it be Hanukkah or Christmas, or even just when you're gathering together on the weekends or something like that, do you guys all sit around and sing and play music, and everybody takes a different instrument? And I mean, is it really?
Yeah.
I want to come over.
A lot of the times it's them asking for my brother and I to do some kind of, like, put on some kind of show, because a lot of my cousins actually aren't musical. It's most of, like, the grown-ups in my family. So they're always asking, like, oh, what are you going to play this time kind of thing. So it's really fun to be able to share with them.
Oh, see, I love that. I love it. Then the other thing, and maybe this is more for Michael. Sorry, Joe, I want to just give one other question out. Of all these young adults who are involved in music, what do you have a percentage? How many, for instance, Kelly, how many go on to do it professionally, or is it something they just have a passion about and will continue to keep it on the side and do it?
Michael Hayden. A lot of our kids, not a lot, many, like most kids, come out of our department and pursue music in college as an avocation. They want to stay in music for fun. They realize it gets them into a community real quickly at a university. It gets them sort of getting the whole scope of the university real quickly. But we also have those people who do make it a vocation and major in music. We have students in musical theater, classical music, instrumental music, music education. And typically every year we'll have anywhere from, 5 to 15 kids across the department major in music and going to some of the real powerhouse schools all across the United States pursuing that. Yeah, it's great. Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, Michael, who's next?
Who's next? We have Chris Holton, who is co-president of our newly formed men's choir. This is the third year for the men's choir. We had a mixed ensemble, an intermediate SATB choir, and we decided to break that away from the curriculum and create a separate men's choir. So this is Chris's second year in the choir, third year. He's the founding father of this choir, actually, which is very exciting.
Right.
So this is Chris.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
All right.
I'm good.
Now, Jackie's going to do a little bio on you.
Yeah, Chris Holton. Chris is in 11th grade, and he has been singing in choir for 6 years. He is the co-president of the men's choir. He is also link crew leader at Costa, becoming event leader for Interact Club, getting an internship for computer programming, creating his own website, and consistently helping out to clean beaches and other local volunteer activities. He wants to go to college to major in either mechanical engineering or computer design. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. So these are the questions that I think the parents of non-choir kids always ask, and that's why I ask them, because in support of choir, I want the parents of non-choir kids to understand how did you get into this 6 years ago?
Well, it's a funny story, actually. So my older brother, we went to the same middle school, and I'm 2 years younger than him. And so he joined choir his first year of middle school, and he did it through all of middle school and in high school. And I wasn't really interested in singing or music that much, but my dad's side of the family was very passionate about it, and they sing in church choirs. And so during sixth grade, my parents forced me to join choir, which I was very against, but once I joined it, I kind of found my a family there, and that was my friend group and still is my friend group to this day. And ever since then, I just stuck with it and just loved every second of it.
Right. Great. Fantastic. So now,
sometimes your parents know best, don't they? Sometimes.
Yeah, they all tell me that.
But of course, it's not just about music for you. It sounds like you really love technology, computers, perhaps. This concept of an internship for computer programming, who's the internship with?
Well, my uncle, he runs his own computer security for the government. He has his own company. And so for them, they usually create websites for companies that need security with passwords and usernames and all of that. So I was able to have an internship there over the summer, and I was able to work with the people that work for the company, and I was able to learn how to code because I'd never coded before. So I was able to learn how to code and make websites for people while also just, like, really, like, develop and see if I really wanted to do this as a profession. And I really enjoyed it. So I've kept on it and took AP classes at Costa and really enhanced my knowledge and my experience.
Okay, fantastic. We are at a time now, you know, when we're getting close to the holidays, and as Jackie pointed out, or Mark pointed out, many people are having parties, and do you get involved in that, or is that not part of your musical life?
I mean, every so often, like, yeah, I'll go to a party, but a lot of what I like to do is just, like, take it back with friends and have, like, maybe, like, 10 people over or watch movies and stuff. So you definitely, like, small parties of just, like, Christmas music and just, like, making cookies is, like, always fun during the holidays. And that's what's really, like, that's, like, a fun time, you could say.
Right.
You guys, but,
well.
Sorry, Mark. Joe. Do you put together little groups and job yourself out for gigs if people,
yeah.
I mean.
Another choir of ours, they put together carol groups and go throughout the holiday around to carol, and Mr. Hayden leads it. So.
Yeah, tomorrow, actually, vocal ensemble he's talking about, there are 25 singers, and we've split the group into three smaller groups. They're going to be actually caroling tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. in the downtown retail district of Manhattan
Beach.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. So I hope everybody out there listening will come down tomorrow between 2 and 4, and you're going to see these small groups. They sing brilliantly. They have really worked hard. It's all a cappella, all self-directed. These students have really stepped forward in a way that's pretty significant, and we're really proud of them. So, yes, and then we've got a group actually going out tomorrow night to a company that is requested carolers. So, yes, we actually do a little bit of what you're describing here, and the kids love doing it.
The reason I say, Michael, the reason I say it is I really think we have, it needs to be promoted more, but if kids want to raise money, if they want to, you know, if fundraise or even just make money for themselves, I got to tell you, I have hired these groups for, like, Rotary events, different things, even beyond the music. I had a big party at our house where I had the comedy sports guys come over and do a thing.
Right.
And we, of course, gave them, I mean, they were paid to come over. And,
right.
Or donations were made. And it was absolutely fantastic. Anytime I've brought over a choral group we get people just rave about it. And I just think we should make more noise. You know what? Maybe the chamber should make more noise about the group. If you guys wanted to send us stuff that's available there for people to call and who the contact is, we'll make some noise about it when we get here to the holidays like this or around times where it might be appropriate to use. But we really have this wealth of talent here that people would really benefit from it. I mean, it's just awesome.
I agree, actually. And I'm the contact person for that. So please
feel
free to contact me and send my name out there, because we were actually last year, we performed at this one event, and people at this event were blown away, and they said, I want to hire these people for my personal party.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lots of private parties that need entertainment.
Exactly. And these students love doing this. They really genuinely do. They get together prior, they warm up, they go sing, they have fun at the event, and then they typically go out afterwards and just continue being together and enjoying the time.
That would be my biggest concern. Are we forcing the kids to do something that they really would rather be somewhere else? If they really want to be there, that's awesome. That's awesome.
They really do. They love doing this.
Okay.
And they just make it fit in their schedules or not, if they're available. It's really easy.
Right.
Now, Michael, I'm going to depend on you to shepherd us through this. We've got a few more people to meet, but Mike, let's meet Mark.
Good morning. It's great to be back on the show.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Okay.
I'm great.
We got Mike.
Please, Jackie.
Mark McCormick is the choir accompanist and co-teacher. Mark has traveled the world as an in-demand collaborative and music educator. A native of Chicago, Mark began his career with the Fox Valley Symphony. Before his teaching career in Manhattan Beach, Mark taught elementary, general music, college, piano, and everything in between. In 2005, Mark relocated to Los Angeles and began work as a music and sound editor. He collaborated with Academy Award-winning composer Hans Zimmer and created sampled instruments used in Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End. Mark joined the music facility at MiraCosta High School in 2008. He serves, as I said, an accompanist and vocal assistant to the award-winning choirs, instructs classes in music theory and composition, and is the award-winning orchestra director for the annual Spring Musical. He's the recipient of the 2014 Sandacre Teacher of the Year Award and a Grammy Music Educator Award quarterfinalist. Mark studied piano, organ, and instrumental conducting at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, earning a B.S. and an M.M. degrees in music education. In addition to his position at MiraCosta, Mark is the principal accompanist for the Angel City Choral, a 120-voice community choir serving the greater Los Angeles area, and is recently on hiatus as a church musician, having served for 12 years as pianist and organist at historic First Lutheran Church in Pasadena. Welcome, Mark. Welcome back, Mark.
Thanks again.
Thank you. So, Mark, when you look out over the sort of the landscape of what you do on a daily basis, when you think about the choir, how important do you think it would be to bring more kids in? Are you full? Is there room for more kids? Or do you have bandwidth for more kids? Tell us about that.
There's always more room, always more room. We are, in fact, talking about the choir department specifically, this year our kind of entry-level choir, our women's choir, is already bursting at the seams. You know, as you'll meet the presidents of those that choir in a moment, but they'll tell you that it's the biggest it's ever been, and there's always room for more. I think our entire instrumental, and when you look at the music program and the as a whole, the arts program at MiraCosta, we've already got many, many students involved. You know, you think of the typical high school cliches. You know, you got the jocks and the music kids and the drama kids. MiraCosta blurs those lines, and we've got so many students involved in multi, you know, just lots of different areas.
Right, right. That's fantastic. So, again, Mike, who are we meeting next?
You are meeting Matthew Nelson, who is co-president with Chris Holton of the Men's Choir.
Okay. Matthew, we're going to read a short bio on you.
Okay, Matthew Nelson. Matthew is in 12th grade. This is his first year in choir, and he is co-president of the men's choir. He is also the leader of Sax Pack, and was named Performer of the Year for 2015-16 in his band. He's a multi-instrumentalist and plans to pursue music education and teach at the high school level. Welcome, Matthew.
Hello.
So I wonder who influenced you such that you think teaching at the high school level is a great idea.
Well, both my parents and my dad, they were both teachers. My mom's still a teacher, and my dad was a teacher. And mom, just over the course of years, he's infused me with her spirit of learning to teach. And over the years, I found that I really love helping other people understand, and so I feel like that'd be best facilitated at the high school level.
Okay, all right, fantastic. You've really thought this out well. So you're aware.
I have a question, Joe. I have a question. because he's a senior. Matthew, you're in 12th grade, and this is your first year in choir, but obviously you have quite a background as you're a multi-instrumentalist. So tell us a little bit about that. Where did you get it? How did you get into it? When did you start? What instruments do you play?
Okay, I started with piano when I was around 8. Started taking lessons, and then I was having fun with that. Then in middle school, in 7th grade, I started learning sax. And that's how I got started in band, and then I've been band throughout middle school and into high school. And then about in sophomore year, I picked up the flute just for the fun of it. And I've also picked up piccolo, and I'm learning clarinet as right now.
But this is your first year in choir. So how did you make the jump into the vocal aspect of music?
Oh, so all high school I've been in band, and through that I've gained friends in choir, and they've always talked about how much they love choir and the experiences that they've come and how much fun they have and how much they learn. And then me wanting to go into music, I thought to myself, you know, I have the room in my schedule, so I joined choir because I wanted the experience. You know, I wanted to be able to say that I could sing and just to meet different people. You know, I've been in a band my entire high school career. I wanted to meet a different group of people, a different exposure, and be exposed to new things.
I like it.
Excellent, excellent. And I have to ask, my one question for you, Matt, is if you were a governor of the Grammys, and you had to announce the Grammys have decided that this saxophonist is the greatest saxophonist in history, who would that be, in your opinion?
Okay.
He's thinking very hard. Okay. All right. I can hear the wheels turning.
Well, think about it, and we can come back to it later. Think about it, and we can come back to it later. Let's give him a couple of minutes to think about
it. Yeah, just shout it out. When you think of it, shout it out, and the next person will just tell us. Michael,
may I ask you another question?
Sure.
You know, when you look at someone starting in their senior year or maybe the freshman year, how – is it like, you know, when you think of all these things are really they're sports. You know, everybody thinks sports in the traditional sense, but all of this is sports because you all compete,
exactly.
You all learn to show up, you have to be there on time, you have responsibilities, accountability, got to play your position, all of those things.
It's all about.
And team. So how can a person come into high school and get involved musically with no experience?
Yes, 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 and yes. Is that emphatic enough?
Yeah, that pretty much says it. Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
because
people
do
this all the time.
Okay.
I was going to say we talk about this all the time. The choir is that unique place where we have the open gate at any point along the student's path in high school, where instrumental music, it's really difficult for a student to come in with no experience and, you know, learn an instrument and becoming and get it into an ensemble. That's just really very, very challenging. But choir is completely the opposite. We have so many kids that, you know, hear about us and hear their friends talk about it, just like Matthew said, or they want to, you know, step out of their comfort zone and learn something new. And I have always said I can teach anyone to sing and to sing well. And
I'll
so
be over in a half an hour.
Come on over.
because, you know, I think a lot of people with, you know, and it's true, and I hear this, I've heard this from my kids in the past, and I've told them that every position I've ever gotten in life as an adult, I was never qualified for. You just, if you feel you're right for it and you really have a passion for whatever you're interviewing for or whatever, go for it. Just go for it. And there's a lot of things that can be taught, but the passion is something that has to be there. It has to be organic. And I think a lot of people assume that, oh, high school, I think a lot of kids assume high school, oh, I'm not good enough, or I would love to learn to sing or to sing, and I enjoy it when I just do it in the car and at home, you know. But I feel like we should promote more the fact that come on over and we'll work with you and enjoy yourself and, you know, have something you can really enjoy.
Yeah, we really send that message all the time. We really
great.
Do.
Great, great.
Excellent.
Can really, by the way, can really everybody sing?
Yes, they can. Absolutely. The only thing that might prohibit one is if there's any kind of, you know, physical incapability, but past that, you bet. It's
because
like
you all you always hear about people saying, well, you know, I'm tone deaf or I can't hit notes.
No. I'm not a sport person. Well, I used to be a sport person, but not a great sport person. But if I worked with a good coach and I really put my mind to it, I could learn that. No
sure,
question.
Sure, sure.
And the same way with singing.
Yeah. And, okay. And Michael, at this point, I would love, since Mark has asked the question, there are, as most people know, you can go to your local guitar center and buy a guitar tuner. There are devices that will allow you to practice singing an A, a C, a B, whatever. And there are even examples of deaf people practicing pitch and creating choirs. There are literally deaf choirs. This is something that you can develop as a skill to sing a note. Tell us a little bit about that, the technology now. With the technology now, anybody can learn to sing.
Well, I don't know. My experience level has not taken me to seeing a deaf choir perform. I think that would be really fascinating. In previous music composition class, I did have a blind student that, you know, was a very good composer. And we have had some students that have had some hearing issues in choir. And you know what it is? I think it goes back to community. When you're in a room full of people that support you, you know, there are all kinds of, you know, the technology now is such that, like you said, it enables anybody to look at a device and say, you know, am I singing in tune? Yes, I am. Okay, what does that feel like? And so you just replicate that. But I think the more important thing is who you surround you with and, you know, to get feedback from your friends and say, yeah, great job. Keep going. You know, I think most people take that first lesson and take that first step and then they kind of lose faith in themselves or it gets challenging.
These devices allow you to to feel the sound that you're making. That is when you make a sound, it vibrates very strongly and it allows you to hear what you're saying. And they were originally designed to allow deaf people to be able to speak more clearly, but then of course they use them to start singing, and then it just like has kind of exploded around the world where people say, well, look, I can talk clearly now, I'm going to start singing, and it's just a big thing. Check it out on YouTube.
This is I think one of the best examples of this most recently was on America's Got Talent. There was a contestant, and she made well into the finals, and she was deaf, and she sang brilliant. And the audience was palpably affected in a way differently than a hearing person singing because they knew of her background and they knew of her, you know, situation. And yet she sang gorgeously.
Yes. Just you know, another part of the technology that we have in the world and how it like impacts people and really is amazing. So now, Michael, who's our next guest?
Our next guest is Taylor Petty. Taylor is co-president of our women's choir.
Mm-hmm. And Taylor,
Taylor,
we're going to have a bio.
Yeah, Taylor Petty. Taylor is in the 10th grade, and this is her second year in choir. She is co-president of the women's choir. She's on the MiraCosta tennis team and plans to go to college after high school, but doesn't know where she's going to go yet. Hiya, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
So you've heard a few of the questions that I've posed to people. Did you find choir by accident, or was it intention?
Well, I knew that I had to take an art class, and I knew that I was never good at painting or drawing, and so I just decided, why not do choir, because I had sung in the past a little bit, and so I took choir, and I didn't think I would keep continuing on with it, but then I realized that I really liked it, and so I'm still going to continue with it throughout the end of high school.
Now, there are people that just fall into these things. Like you said, you had to have this kind of a credit, this particular kind of a credit, and choir met the bill. But now, is it something that you think, wow, I've discovered something, this is going to change my life, or you're just really happy that you don't have to draw?
Well, I mean, technically, I've already completed my art credits. So if I was only taking choir for credits, then I wouldn't need to do it anymore. But I really like
right.
it, so I'm going to keep doing it.
So what does it mean to be the president of the women's choir? I mean, what are some of the duties that a president does that a regular choir member doesn't do?
Well, we have about 46 girls in our women's choir this year, which is a lot of people. And being in charge of that many people can be a little intimidating, but most of the singers are much more mature than you would realize. And because of the environment that we are taught, the environment that the choir gives us teaches us to be more mature. So it's not that difficult. And the things that we do is just kind of help the choir progress as a whole, but we don't have to be too strict to them because they already know what they need to learn and they can move on also.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've noticed? Okay, I just had an epiphany. And Michael, tell me if I'm wrong on this. I came up through the theater, and my kids all came up through sports. So maybe because I missed that, maybe somehow that was me because I missed the sports end of life. I was one of those. And so maybe I was living through my kids a little or something. Maybe I pushed them too much into sports. But you know what I've noticed is I think that the beauty about choir is not only are you learning singing, but you are learning presentation and diction and vocal. In other words, public speaking.
Exactly. And
confidence. Confidence.
Right. In 2014, when I went through the California Teacher of the Year process, I had to do a lot of writing about my teaching and a lot of self-analysis. And one of the things that I really realized, and I knew this even as a young music student, when I came up with my philosophy my junior year of college, my philosophy that I created asked to create said, I teach people, I just happen to use music. And so with that philosophy comes this focus of creating a great person, of creating a person that is more confident, as you said, that is willing to take risk, that is willing to be more for the team than themselves, that is willing to be out there in a way that they haven't been before. So go ahead.
But when you look at first impressions, the first thing people know or realize or sense or see or hear is how well you speak, how you present yourself. And I think
correct.
Choir kind of lends itself to that. And that's something that a lot of your traditional sports, I mean, they just want you to hit the ball hard. They're not
right.
teaching you how to stand up and present your ideas and your message.
Well, one of the things, we have somebody you're going to meet in just a moment, Eva, she just handed this to me. This is one of my philosophies. It's in my handbook. And all these students know this statement so well. Nobody hides in choir. I don't allow that to happen.
Right.
And so in that philosophy, students are asked to be present. And when I say present, I mean not just showing up for class, but be present, be out there every moment of the rehearsal.
Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So now, Taylor, when you think of your position, being president of the women's choir, what do you think is most important to pass on to the next president? What are some of the lessons that you would say you learned that you could pass on that would help the next president?
Well, I know that in this choir, well, in any choir, it's all about the culture that you make, your own culture that you make, and about how you pass it down to the next. And what I would say is that although there could very well be even more people in the next women's choir next year, it's not going to be, it's not as intimidating as it might seem, because two people being in charge of 44 other singers, it seems like it's going to be impossible to keep control, especially when they're all teenagers and when even you're a teenager and the next choir presidents, they may at first be unsure of themselves. Like I kind of wasn't sure of myself at the beginning of being charged of that many people, but me and my other co-president both realized that it's not just about us leading the choir. It's about the choir leading themselves also. And so each and every person can help lead themselves to have a better culture, I guess. And so when everyone else also steps up and does their best, we can help them, and we can all help the whole entire choir as a whole.
Excellent.
Oh, my God.
Excellent.
Adam, isn't that
I mean, Mark,
I mean,
isn't that something?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you hear young adults speak,
yes,
like you just did, and you begin to think, okay, the world's going to be okay.
Exactly.
It's going to be all right.
Unbelievable.
I don't know about
all right,
you guys,
we're going to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Michael, yes? Michael,
I was
going to
say, I don't know about you, but I did not speak like a sophomore. I didn't speak like that when I was a sophomore.
That's what I'm saying.
No, none of us did.
Exactly.
Okay, so listen, guys, we're gonna go because we gotta keep moving here. We're going to meet Eva Lise Hall. Eva is a senior at MiraCosta and co-president of Advanced Women's Choral. Apart from choir, she is on the cross-country and track teams. In the summer, she is the head instructor at a day camp, and she babysits and tutors frequently, which has helped her realize that one day she hopes to work with children. She is a member of five clubs on campus, including Me to We, where students connect with local elementary schools and raise money to build schools in Africa. She is planning on attending a four-year university on the East Coast. Welcome, Eva.
Hi.
Hi. So how do we properly pronounce your first name?
It's Eva Lee. Like Eve and Elise.
Eva Lee.
That's easy. Eva Lee.
It's spelled harder than it actually is.
So, okay. You're doing a lot. You're obviously involved in the classic concepts of sports, cross country and track. How would you contrast and compare the classic sports, physical sports, versus what we're calling the sport, the musical sport of choir?
So that's actually interesting, because I find that through the years, there have actually been many people in cross country that are also in choir. I think they actually have very similar cultures where I also used to play soccer and basketball, and the culture was very different. It was more competitive. But at track meets, at cross country meets, everyone cheers all the other teams. Everyone congratulates. You say hi to everyone as you run by them, even if it's your rival school. And I find that I found through the years that it's the same way in choir. Everyone congratulates whenever you're at a competition or a festival. You give your full attention to every other choir. It's not a selfish sport, and it's not a selfish like musical department. It's very inclusive, and everyone is one person, kind of. And so I actually think that they're very similar.
Okay. All right. Now, your position is you're very busy. It says you're a member of five clubs. Is that true?
Yes, yeah.
So is that a balancing act, or do you find that it's easier?
It's definitely a balancing act. I also have a job that I've had since sophomore year at a dress shop, so I work there all weekend and twice during the week, and then I also have practices, and I just found that I'm part of a big family, so I found that it's gotten easier to juggle everything over the years, but it keeps me busy. I love it.
Okay, fantastic. So, you know, we're running short of time, so I'm going to have to pitch you one of those standard questions that interviewers always fall back on. When you think of the next person just coming into high school, maybe a freshman, and trying to figure out what they're going to do, what clubs they're going to join, what you know, community they want to be a part of, what would you tell them about this is the community you want to be a part of? Choir is the one.
So I'm actually a part of a club at school. Well, it just turned kind of into the crew, but it used to be Ambassadors Club, and we would welcome incoming freshmen or people new into the district and try to encourage them to join certain other clubs or other activities or extracurriculars. And I always – I actually one girl, Ella Brown, in our choir – she was a part of the shop for her, and she joined choir. And I know she loved it. And I really think that choir, we think about the future, not just about how we are now. And I know that this year we've really focused on instilling a mindset that we want to provide a place, a safe place for people in our choir in the future, and to really kind of educate our choir to be more advanced and, try to improve our choir for the future years.
Yeah, she's talking about how we really work hard to just keep raising the bar in every aspect, not just physically, personally, professionally. And the Advancement Chorale, of which Eva is a co-president, has been one of the leading forces in the department. These young women represent the very best of a very wonderful cliche, girl power. It's pretty amazing.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you, Eva-Lise. Michael, who's our next guest?
Monet Yazbek. Monet is also the co-president of Women's Choir along with Taylor.
Okay. Hi, Monet.
Hi, Monet. Let me just give you a little background on Monet. Monet Yazbek, she's in 11th grade and has been in choir for 2 years. She's the she's the co-president of Women's Choir. She is in the Manhattan Beach Mayor's. She's on the Manhattan Beach Mayor's Youth Council, and on the logistics teams for the TEDx Manhattan Beach Salon at MiraCosta. She plans to go to college after high school, hopefully at her first pick, UC Santa Barbara. Welcome, Monet.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. So now you've heard many of the questions that I've asked, and what I'm trying to get at, I think, is your particular experience of choir and trying to communicate some aspect of that to someone else who may be thinking about it or someone else who, you know, has questions. So what would you say the number one question is that people should ask when they think about choir?
I think that when people think about taking choir, the question is really, do you want to get a unique experience that involves working with a team? All of you have to have your 100% focus in everything you do. There's no slacking off like in a regular class. You can't just, you know, one person gets an F, one person gets an A. You all have to get 100% or more.
Mm-hmm. So participation is mandatory.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. That's fantastic. We often hear about, you know, there's this sort of meme, obviously, in society about kids, young people being too involved. I mean, obviously, Ivelisse enjoys being involved in five clubs and she has a job and she has a lot of things going on. Do you feel that you're too involved or that you're at the right level of involvement?
I actually feel sometimes that I'm under-involved, but it can sound like a lot, but really in the grand scheme of things, you're just getting more life experiences and doing more things before you head off to college and really getting yourself ready to be an adult, and things like choir and being in community activities really help you form groups and get leadership experiences.
Mm-hmm. And you already have chosen, I mean, you were, or hopefully your top school is UC Santa Barbara. What is your major going to be?
I am planning on majoring in biology and going into med school. That's always been a passion of mine. It has rarely changed throughout my life.
Okay. Fantastic. And we have,
she's the girl with the plan.
She sure has
a plan. So, Michael, who's our next guest?
I think that's it.
We got through everybody.
I got to tell you, who are these kids?
I mean,
holy mackerel. Michael's right. When I was that age, I just, you know, of course, I'm a guy. So, you know, these girls, I'm sorry, guys, you president
right.
guys. These girls are just light years. My gosh.
We're going to wrap up soon, but I have to ask Matthew, do you have one for me? The greatest saxophonist in history?
I have two that came to mind.
Just say, okay.
Yes,
Michelangelo.
Ability. Charlie Parker. Coltrane.
Bird.
Yeah.
And Coltrane. Oh my God. Okay. So obviously your parents have well schooled you. Parker Bird.
Yeah, I'm just
and
glad he
Coltrane.
Knows who Charlie Bird is. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Michael, this has been as we've all said, but it's a tour de force of committed, involved, educated, and fully engaged young people. What a joy.
That's my goal. I will probably go back to this podcast and take that quote right from your mouth.
Well, yeah. What's great, too, when you look at guys like Michael, too, and Mark, they are really embodied the whole idea of do what you love. Love what you do, and you'll never go to work a day in your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap it up, I just want to mention one more time, the MiraCosta High School Choirs, their upcoming concert, This Shining Night, taking place at the MiraCosta Auditorium on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. I imagine you guys are probably going to do some nice holiday tunes. Get everybody in the mood. We're gonna get in the season. We're gonna get in the mood for the season. A $10 donation at the door is suggested. It will be worth every penny. All right. So this is Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. at MiraCosta.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Mike. Just give us a quick ad for the night.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. We're doing everything from 10th century medieval chant with the men's choir Women's Choir, we're doing something very special with them. We're doing a Craig Hella Johnson piece that's a mashup of an old English carol, Low How Rose Are Blooming, with Bette Midler's The Rose. And we're featuring two contemporary ballerina dancers, professional dancers, dancing the piece. And we are using string players from our orchestra in the concert. We're using, in the gospel number with Advanced Women, we're using our members of the jazz band. We're taking you from medieval to gospel and everything in between. There's a wonderful section of carols that vocal ensembles performing, featuring the three small groups. Our two a cappella groups, college-style a cappella groups, just knock it out of the park every year with contemporary a cappella. There truly is something for everyone.
All right. Fantastic. Awesome. Well, it's been a joy. Mark, any last words?
Yes. Once again, I want to follow through with Michael and Mark. This, at 61, one of the things that I'm doing now after I was forced into that early retirement is we find out, usually all of us find out later that we and try to do what we were made to do versus what we were paid to do. And these guys, to their credit, from the get-go, have been doing what they were made to do versus what they were paid to do. And that's fantastic. Imagine if everybody in the world did what they were made to do versus what they were paid to do. How great it would
pretty
be.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
And on that note, thank you for joining us, everyone, both in the room, and thank you for joining us, all of you out there in cyberspace. We appreciate it. We will be back next week, and it's been a
great
edition.
We're off for the next 2 weeks. Reruns for the next 2 weeks. We won't be back till the new year.
That's what that meant. I wondered about that, Jackie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my executive producer tells me we won't be back until 2018. We'll be back in a year. And,
so happy new year.
Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, we love what we do, and we hope to be back doing it some more. As long as Mark pays us, we'll be back doing some more. The Chamber is a generous supporter of this online podcast, and we greatly appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. We hope you had a good time, and we hope you'll have a good time at the choir event coming up now. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Jackie, I don't have it in front of me. When is the event again?
Oh, it's this Shining Night, Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. at MiraCosta Auditorium.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. Well, it's going to be fabulous, I'm sure, and maybe I can make it. Okay. Thank you. We'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.